Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now, and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man. If there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and speak unto them, and they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these have altogether broken the yoke and burst the bonds. Jeremiah chapter 10, just a few pages over. Jeremiah chapter 10. Jeremiah said, I'm going to learn. I'm going to sit at the feet of the great men who've known the ways of the Lord. That's who my teachers will be. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 1. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Learn not the way of the heathen. Romans chapter number 1, if you'll go to the New Testament now, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans chapter number 1. We'll begin in verse number 18, Romans chapter 1, and beginning in verse number 18. Notice the progression here. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. By the way, that's evolution and humanism and the results of that. You teach a couple generations that they're nothing but animals, and guess what? They begin to live like animals. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. For even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness and fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I'm going to preach a message this morning, 25 reasons why Sunday school is much more important than Monday through Friday school. 25 reasons. Yeah, you ought to be worried. 25 reasons why Sunday school is much more important than Monday through Friday school. Heavenly Father, help us, please, God. We've become a culture of pagans. God, we do not like to retain God in our knowledge. We want to have a collection of knowledge and then ban God from that collection of knowledge. And that's what we have determined to teach our children. Help us, dear God. Help some folks get their eyes open, dear God. Help some folks that are sending their young people into Christian education but are doing it for convenience sake. May it graduate to conviction's sake. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to understand what's happening. I pray that you'll warn our young people that are being sent into the public school system, that are born again Christians, that they would guard very carefully against learning the ways of the heathen. I thank God for Blessed Hope Christian School, dear God, Blessed Hope Baptist School here, and the opportunity and the freedom you've given us to educate our children and not exclude God from the knowledge that they receive on a daily basis. Help us, dear Lord, dear God, to be committed to the house of God. May we understand that what a young person learns in 45 minutes of Sunday school is more important than the 30 or 40 hours of instruction they receive in schools that have banned the Bible and banned prayer, excluded God from their textbooks, and blasphemed God many times from the mouths of those who claim to be instructors. Pray that you'll help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Two things prompted this, and I want to say this. First of all, young people, those of you that are going to school and you've started school, I believe this ought to be true. I'm preaching a message, 25 reasons why Sunday school is much more important than Monday through Friday school. Don't leave here and say that your preacher said that school wasn't important. I didn't say that. I said Sunday school is much more important. I think that the best students in every school ought to be Christian kids. I think if you're a Christian, you're a born-again young person, you ought to be at the head of your class. I think you ought to work harder than anybody else. I think you ought to study harder than anybody else. I think that you ought to turn your homework in on time. I think you ought to be a blessing to the teacher. I think you ought to be the most well-behaved young person, the most prepared for tests, the most prepared for quizzes. I think you ought to give the best that you can give as a student. I want to say that. I hear from time to time, and bus workers, if you've heard this once, you've heard it 1,000 times. You know what? Well, I'll have to ask the kids if they want to go, because we don't make them go to church. We let them choose. And the question that we give in return to that is, do you let them choose whether or not they go to school Monday through Friday? Oh, no, we don't make them let them choose that. We make them go there. Now, they're required to go there, preacher. So you'll require them to go to Monday through Friday school, but you leave Sunday school as if it's optional. To me, folks, that's the most ridiculous thing, the most ridiculous thinking that man can come up with. You know what? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Jeremiah lived in a time when Israel had turned heathen. Matter of fact, they were on the threshold of judgment, on the threshold of captivity. He was one of those prophets that was sent to prepare Israel for captivity, not to even offer hope that they could escape it, but to prepare them for the inevitable judgment of God, because that's how far Israel had come. He said that I looked around in this culture in his day, in his nation, God's chosen people, the Israelites, and he said, you know what I find? Hard-heartedness. I see people talk about the Lord with their lips but deny him with their life. And he said, I want to find great men. I want to sit under great men. I want to speak with them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. So Jeremiah says, great men know the way of the Lord. Great men know the judgment of their God. Teachers that I want to hear are godly men and godly women. In Jeremiah chapter 10, the Lord says this to a nation, learn not the way of the heathen. Romans chapter 1 gives us a map, if you will, or gives us a timeline on how we get from being a godly country to an ungodly country, a godly culture to a heathen culture. And it all begins with this idea that we are going to exclude God in our education. We're going to act as if he doesn't exist. We're going to deny the evidences of creation that speak to his existence. We are going to ignore that which has been put in us through creation that tells us that there is a God. We're going to be unthankful, vain in our imaginations, and our foolish hearts are going to be darkened. We're going to profess ourselves to be wise even though we have become fools. We're going to change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And by the way, that is the progression that you taught, that is taught in evolution. We're not going to credit God for what we see. We are going to say that we are some type of result of some type of a big bang or a cosmic mistake, and and a series of millions of mutations and chances. And by the way, it was Albert Einstein that says that evolution is a mathematical impossibility. A mathematical impossibility. What is the result of this? When a culture, a nation does this, God gives them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. They begin to become perverted and perverts. They change the truth of God into a lie. They worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Humanism. Man is the top of the totem pole. We will worship man. We will deny God. God gives them up further to vile affections. Homosexuality comes in. And then a whole, by the way, that opens the floodgates to all kinds of sin. God gives them over to a reprobate mind. They are then filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication comes from that. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, biters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventor of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. All of this flows from a series of decisions that were made from a culture that we're going to exclude God from the process and from the collection of what we call wisdom and knowledge. We're going to teach a generation all this came through happenstance, and that man is the top of the totem pole, and man's wisdom is all there is, and man's knowledge is all there is, and God does not really exist. And as a result of that, our entire culture, and by the way, this is the United States of America. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. The entire culture's gone to hell in a handbasket. Yep. That which is good is called evil, and that which is evil is now called good. Because we've been systematically brainwashed into believing through our public school system, into believing that God is, listen, my Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I'm going to give them to you quick. Here we go. 25 reasons why Sunday school is much more important than Monday through Friday school. Number one, there are no books in hell. Preacher, they got to learn to read. Well, I want them to learn to read too. But if you teach them to read Monday through Friday and don't take them to church and let them learn about how to be saved on Sunday, you know what? You're going to have a bunch of educated people in hell. There are no books in hell. Number two, if there were books in hell, you couldn't read them because of the utter darkness. There's a lot of educated people. They're going to split hell wide open.
Yes, sir.
A lot of parents that are insistent upon their young people, you know what, getting academic. They want them to have a 4.0 Monday through Friday, and then they let them sleep in on Sunday, and they never learn about Jesus Christ and the shed blood of Calvary and the substitutional death. They educate themselves outside of the influence of God. Number three, you algebra students will like this. Understanding JN3.16 is 1,000 times more important than understanding X plus Y equals Z. That's John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I don't care what level of math skills you have. If you don't understand the simple gospel and turn to Jesus Christ as Savior, again, there'll be another educated fool in hell. How about this? Understanding calculus. By the way, I took calculus. But understanding calculus might get you to Harvard. Understanding the Bible can get you to heaven. I'm sorry to say this, but I really believe this. There's more parents concerned about their kids getting in an Ivy League school than they are whether or not they get to heaven. They're more focused on that. They may not say it with their lips, but if you look at the pattern of their life, academics trump spirituality.
Yes,
they want them to know the ways of this world, but they don't bring them to church so that they can learn the ways of God. Number five, Monday through Friday, they will teach you about the Big Bang Theory. On Sunday, you will learn in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I want to say this to all of our young people. You look up here and listen to me, because you're going to hear it sometime. I don't care what grade you're in. You're going to hear it sometime this year. Evolution is a lie of the devil. It's an absolute fabrication. Listen, it's not even scientifically substantial. It's ridiculous on all levels. When I just quote Albert Einstein's the one that said that evolution is a mathematical impossibility. People that didn't even claim themselves to be Christians looked at Darwin's theory and thought, you got to be kidding me. There's no science here. Over 800 times in Darwin's Origin of Species, you will find the phrase, let us assume. Let us assume, 800 times. If you're explaining how things might have come to be, and in the story of that explaining, 800 times, you have to allow a jump of faith, an imagination, an assumption that you cannot prove, then you know what? You are not telling me science. You're telling me a fairy tale. That's what you're telling me. There's a hidden agenda. There's a hidden agenda behind those who propagate and teach evolution, and this is what it is. They are not after the truth. They are after a way to explain what is unexplainable without having to admit that there is a God.
Yes, sir.
That's all it is. So Monday through Friday, they will teach you about that you came from monkeys. On Sunday, you will learn that you were created by God. That's number six. Number seven, Monday through Friday, they will try to teach you how to make a living. On Sunday, the good book will teach you how to live. Young person, listen to me. You can learn to make a living, but if you don't know how to live, you know what? Your life is going to be a disaster. Well, we need to get our kids an education so that they can get a big paycheck, so that they have doors open to them, so they can make a living. By the way, I'm all for them making a living. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And I'm all for them getting trained and taught how to do that. But let me say this. If we teach them how to make a living, and then don't take them to church on Sunday where they will learn how to live, you know what? Their lives, their personal lives, will be a disaster. I don't care how nice a house they live in. I don't care how nice a car they drive. I don't care how rich their bank accounts. Their personal lives will be a disaster. You see, God teaches you to not only have life, but to have it more abundantly. Put your seatbelts on. Number eight, Monday through Friday, you will have to read why Billy has two daddies. On Sunday, you find out that Billy's two daddies are going to split hell wide open if they don't repent and get saved.
Come on.
Come on now. Amen. I like that. I like that some of you have been saved a while, and you know what? You can't crack a smile right now. You've been so influenced by political correctness that you can't stand it when the Bible's preached. God is emphatic about this. Homosexuality is not an alternative lifestyle. It is a wicked sin before God. It's an abomination to God. This whole idea that I'm going to take my precious little girl who God gave me and that lady there the responsibility of raising and turn it over to somebody who's going to hand a book like that to them and teach them to be tolerant of sin. God is not tolerant of that sin. Ask the inhabitants of Sodom and Gomorrah how tolerant God was of the sin of homosexuality. Monday through Friday, they have to read these things. By the way, I'm going to just say this, and I'm going to sprinkle it in through here, and some of you want to get sideways, you're just going to have to get sideways. That's one of the reasons we offer Christian education here. That's why in 1977, my dad said we have to start a Christian school. You know why? Because we're commanded not to learn the way of the heathen. You know what? We didn't leave them, they left us. They came to the front door and said, Christians, you can come in here, but you can't be a Christian when you come. During these times, you have to leave your prayer outside the door and your Bible outside the door, and you can't talk about the Lord. We had somebody, a family, enroll their kids in our Christian school, not from this congregation, from another congregation. The lady called me and said, I've homeschooled them for several years. It was getting to the point where it was a challenge to me because of the level they're getting to. And she said this, she said, I decided I'd put them back into public school. My son walked in the first day and began to talk to his classmates about the Lord. And the teacher pulled him out into the hallway and said, you cannot speak about God in this place. She said, I picked up my kid. He told me that. I marched back in there, asked the teacher. She said, yes, we do not allow that. And she said, this is the last day that you'll have influence over my children. And she took him out of that school. Now, you better listen up, folks. This whole idea, well, Christian school is some kind of a second-rate deal. No, no, it's not a second-rate deal. Well, preacher, you're not accredited. What? Watch this. Look right up here. Accredited by who? Accredited by who? We're accredited by heaven. We're accredited by God. We're accredited by this book. Why? Because I won't bow to the whims and the wishes of a state that's going to insist that we teach things that are anti-God, that we employ people that are anti-God to teach our children. No, I mean, hell will freeze over before this church takes accreditation for our school. I like what Brother Howes used to say. He said, I don't know. People ask about accreditation. I always say this. I don't know. Is Major League Baseball accredited by the Little Leagues? Come on now. Amen. Come on now. No, I'm not interested. I don't need the approval stamp of the heathen. Not interested in it. Amen. And so, Monday through Friday, there you go. We pulled our kids out a long time ago. It's a conviction with us. Why? Learn not the way of the heathen. Why? I will get me into the great men. We'll speak unto them. Why? Because you're not going to present knowledge absent of God and educate my children in that environment. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. Okay? Here we go. Some of this is sinking in on some of you. It's good. Open your hearts. Listen to God. Number 9, Monday through Friday, you'll be taught to have school spirit. On Sunday, you'll be taught the importance of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Number 10, Monday through Friday, you'll be taught the importance of being politically correct. On Sunday, you'll be taught the importance of being biblically correct. What this Bible says is correct and what the culture says is correct is usually two opposite things. I'm not interested in being politically correct. Maybe you've noticed. I don't care. So you're preaching, now this thing's not going to go on the radio. Oh, yes, it is. You better believe it is. Amen. We're going to make sure. We might play it like 4 Sundays in a row. Make sure we irritate everybody in the community. Come on now. Politically correct or biblically correct? If the culture says this is right and the Bible says it's wrong, guess what? It's wrong. It's wrong. Okay. The View and the daytime women's shows say this is the way you ought to look at it. And the Bible says no, you ought to look at it this way. Guess who's right? The Bible's right. The Word of God's right. All people, if you say those things out loud, they'll look down on you. Well, folks, the wicked cultures look down on Christians forever. Why should that bother you? The Bible says they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Come on now. Are we going to stand up and be counted? Are we worried about whether or not we are accepted by the heathen culture? Number 11, Monday through Friday. Put your seatbelts on again. Monday through Friday, your daughters will be encouraged to wear spandex to play volleyball, mini skirts to cheerlead, and hip huggers to be cool and accepted. On Sunday, if you go to the right kind of church, your daughters will be taught biblical modesty, biblical femininity, and moral responsibility. Now I'm gonna look right at y'all in your God-given eyeball, you daddies out there. God help you daddies. I hold you to account. Don't tell me I'm exaggerating this. What these public schools are telling these girls they have to wear to be on the volleyball team is gross. It's wicked. It's immodest to the nth degree. Come on now. Yes, think about it. How can you defend that? And as a daddy, how could you put your precious daughter in an outfit like that, march her into a gymnasium, and have hundreds of men watching her as she's playing in that kind of an outfit? Yes, sir. Yep. I hold you to account. Yep. I don't expect every woman in here to understand how a man's mind works, but I know every man in here knows how a man's mind works. I don't care the most spiritual of you. Every once in a while I get somebody, well, a man tell me, I don't have trouble with the flesh. Man, I always grab my wallet with one hand, grab my wife with the other, and back away slowly from that guy. He's lying through his stinking teeth. Come on, I'm just crazy. You let your daughter talk you into putting her on the cheerleading squad? Come on, I'm not trying to be gross here, but there ain't no secrets out there prancing around, kicking her leg up, and men up there, and young teenage boys up there, and lustful hearts and lustful eyes. But you know what? You've bought into the nonsense. You're going to answer to God for it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You say, preacher, the Bible doesn't say anything about the way women should dress. You need to read your Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. I want to tell you something. I'm proud of the young ladies in this ministry that have made a commitment, made it their conviction to dress in a feminine, gender-specific, modest way. They're doing it not because this preacher says to do it, but because of rules of this place. They're doing it because the Word of God teaches it. And they believe the Bible over the culture. Unbelievable. I used to drive a public school bus. Did it for 4 or 5 years. I've driven the field trips. When I was there in the 70s, it's not like they were super modest in the schools. But when they used to have these dance troops or these drill teams, it was a matter of them prancing around in formation twirling flags. I was asked to drive one of those groups. And this, by the way, would have been clear back in the middle 1980s. And they said there's some type of a drill team or something. They're going to a competition. You drive them. And I did what I always did. In order to make the money, extra money that I needed to feed my family so I could stay in the ministry, took those jobs, and I'd take a briefcase full of work, and I'd stay on the bus and work. And finally, I got bored and thirsty and said, I'll go in and buy a pop. So I went in there, and I'm going to tell you something. I stood at the edge of that gymnasium floor and watched for about 30 seconds. And what I saw, by the way, some wicked, vile, strange woman.
Yep.
Come on. Teaching young ladies to dance and prance and be sexual and ungodly and wicked in their movements, in their dress, suggestive in their movements. I thought I was at some kind of Las Vegas burlesque show. Thank you, burlesque show. Wickedness. Wicked. I said wickedness. There's no way in the world. Come on. You stand. You say, I just don't believe. I don't agree with you. Let's go watch it. You stand there and defend it. Teaching our young ladies to be a bunch of 14, 15, 16-year-old hoochie mamas. And we wonder why we have the immorality rate. We wonder why we aren't marrying off virgin girls anymore. God help us. God help us. That's why you ought to get your family to church like Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, I can go to churches that don't preach against this stuff. Yep, you got a whole bunch of them out there. Go choose one. But you ain't changing this preacher, and you're not going to change this book. You're not changing this book. You can go sit under some charlatan. They ain't got enough guts to say what needs to be said. But I'm saying this. You know what? Thank God that there's still churches that stand for some decency. Yes, and thank God for the ladies in this church that haven't changed their convictions. Amen. Some of you ought to be falling under Holy Spirit conviction, right? Some of you ladies that have backed up and changed your dress standards because of the pressures of this world. Shame on you. Yeah. Number 12, Monday through Friday, your boys will get to hear God's name taken in vain. On Sunday, your boys will get to hear God's name glorified.
Amen.
Number 13, Monday through Friday, you will learn the ultimate goal is a 4.0 grade point average. On Sunday, you'll learn that the ultimate goal is to be like Jesus.
Amen.
Number 14, Monday through Friday, you'll be taught the importance of tolerance. On Sunday, you'll learn that a holy God is not tolerant of sin. Not tolerant of sin. Number 15, Monday through Friday, you'll be told to leave your Bible at home. On Sunday, you'll be told to take your Bible to school. That's what I'm telling you. Every young person that goes to the public school, Monday morning, let me dare you to do it. Let me tell you, you ought to do it. You ought to grab your Bible along with your backpack, and you ought to grab your Bible and take it right in there, and you ought to carry it from class to class. Don't be reading it while the teacher's talking. Don't be reading it while you're supposed to be doing an assignment. But you know what? In your spare time, what you ought to do is open the Word of God up and read it constantly throughout the day. Take some gospel tracts with you. Pass them out. And if a teacher or principal tells you you can't bring your Bible, you can't tell tracts, give out tracts, you come see me next Sunday morning and I'll go see that principal, I'll go see that teacher. I'm sick and tired of Christians being beat down. You know what? If we had our kids, our Christian kids are right here, go to the school this week and say, listen, every time you get mad or upset, I want you to use Allah's name in vain. I guarantee you they'd be yanked in the office so quickly. You can't do that. You'll offend Muslims. And yet teachers and students can say, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, and use God's name in a blasphemous way all day long. And Christian kids, if they say anything about it, they're just troublemakers. Tiger Woods, when he had the big public falling out, disaster, and all of that shipwreck, moral shipwreck, got up in his apology and said that the reason that he had taken the slide was because he had gotten away from the Buddhist teachings that he was given as a young man. And I think God heard that. I'm going to tell you something. He's never, now for going on 4 years since he stepped up and made that open, let those words come out of his mouth, won a major. And by the way, his whole life is about winning majors. And I'm not saying he never will. I don't know what God will do, but I think God heard it. I want to pay somebody to follow him around the golf course. Every time he misses a putt, yell, "Praise Buddha!" By the way, if a guy did that, he'd get arrested. Oh, he'd be condemned by the community. But you know what? Tiger Woods can miss a putt and right by a microphone curse the name of my God and nothing ever happens to him. Listen, I'm a little sick of and tired of the double standard. Why is it that Christians get thrown under the bus, but everybody else that's involved in false religions, their way's protected? I'm trying to help educate some of you. You have been so brainwashed through political correctness that you don't even have common sense anymore. I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed of that. And the young people in this room ought not to be ashamed. Take your Bible tomorrow. Take it to school. Talk about God. Pass out gospel tracts. You have every constitutional right. Am I right, Johnny Waterman? They have every constitutional right in this world to walk in any public school and do those things. And to pray, you can pray. Monday through Friday, you'll be told you cannot pray. Number 16 on Sunday, you'll be told to pray without ceasing. Madeline Murray O'Hare, you talk about a mess, boy. You talk about a wicked woman. I did some reading on her this week, and she was one of the atheists that spearheaded the attack and spearheaded the efforts to get prayer out of school. And she's an American atheist activist, founder of the American Atheists, and served as its president from 1963 to 1986. One of her sons, John Garth Murray, was the president of the organization from 1986 to 1995. She remained de facto president during these 9 years, God help us. She's best known for her lawsuit that led to the landmark Supreme Court ruling ending official Bible reading in American public schools in 1963. This came 1 year after the Supreme Court prohibited officially sponsored prayer in school. Okay. She later founded American Atheist, an organization, became so controversial that in 1964, Life magazine referred to her as the most hated woman in America. Watch this. By the way, remember old Elijah coming and saying to Jezebel, "The dogs will eat you." Come on. Ahab, the dogs will lick your bone. This idea that you're going to do evil and not repent against God, and you're going to die in your sleep, an old and blessed person, is ridiculous. 1995, she was kidnapped and murdered along with her son John Murray and granddaughter, three generations, into the third and fourth generations, what the Bible said, of them that do evil. Granddaughter Robin Murray O'Hare by former American atheist office manager David Roland Waters, killed by one of her own. Why wouldn't he? He doesn't have to face God. Doesn't think he does. She was an atheist activists. She filed a lawsuit against the Baltimore City Public School System in which she asserted that it was unconstitutional for her son William to be required to participate in Bible reading at Baltimore Public Schools. In this litigation, she stated that her son's refusal to partake in the Bible readings had resulted in bullying being directed against him by classmates and that administrators condoned this. The lawsuit reached the Supreme Court of the United States in 1963. The court voted 8-1, which effectively banned mandatory Bible verse recitation in public schools in the United States. Prayer in the schools and other Bible reading had already been ended in 1962. Following her arrival in Austin, Texas, she had founded American Atheists, a nationwide movement which defended the civil rights of non-believers, works for the separation of church and state, and addresses issues of First Amendment public policy. O'Hare was the voice of and face of atheism in the United States during the 1960s and 70s, therefore making her a highly controversial figure. In 1965 interview with Playboy magazine, she claimed religion was a crutch and an irrational reliance on superstition and supernatural nonsense. She founded an atheist radio program which she criticized religion and theism, and a television show she hosted, American Atheist Forum, was carried on more than 140 cable television systems. And God's people says, how long, O Lord, how long? God says, judgment's coming. O'Hara was the first guest on the Phil Donahue show. That should tell you something about Phil Donahue. Most of these kids don't know who Phil Donahue is. When it debuted in a local program in Dayton, Ohio, November 6, 1967. She would make several appearances on the program during its run. Host Phil Donahue would later call her message of atheism very important, but said that O'Hara was unpleasant to be around and that she mocked him off camera for being Catholic. On the 27th of August, 1995, O'Hara, her son John, and granddaughter Robin suddenly disappeared. The door to the office of American Atheist was locked with a typewritten note attached, apparently with John's signature, stating the Murray O'Hara family has been called out of town on an emergency basis. We do not know how long we will be gone at this time of the writing of this memo. When the O'Hara's home was entered, breakfast dishes were sitting on the table. Her diabetes medication was on the kitchen counter. Her dogs had been left without a caregiver. In phone calls a few days later, the trio claimed they were on business in San Antonio, Texas. A few days later, John ordered $600,000 worth of gold coins from San Antonio jeweler, but took delivery of over only $500,000 worth of coins. Ultimately, a murder investigation focused on David Roland Waters, who had worked as a typesetter for the American Atheist. Not only did Waters have previous convictions of violent crimes, there were several suspicious burglaries during his tenure, and he pleaded guilty earlier in 1995 to stealing $54,000 from the American Atheist. The police concluded that Waters and his accomplices had kidnapped all three of the O'Hares, forcing them to withdraw the missing funds, gone on several huge shopping sprees with the O'Hares' money and credit cards, and then murdered and dismembered all three people. Think about that. One of her sons, by the way, William Murray, was baptized at a Baptist church in Dallas in 1980, where he took up the work as a preacher. This led to a permanent estrangement between mother and son. As she put it, one could call this a postnatal abortion on the part of a mother. I repudiate him entirely and completely for now and all times. He is beyond human forgiveness for becoming a Christian. Murray spoke critically and regretfully of his mother after her disappearance and characterized her social activism as being motivated by a love and need for dominance. Watch this. When I was a young boy, 10 or 11 years old, she would come home and brag about spending the day in X-rated movie theaters in downtown Baltimore. My mother's whole life circulated around such things. It was love of power over people that finally caused her not only her death, but the deaths of my brother and my daughter. My mother was an evil person, not for removing prayer from America's school. No, she was just evil. She stole huge amounts of money. She misused the trust of people. She cheated children out of their parents' inheritance. She cheated on her taxes and even stole from her own organizations. She once printed up phony stock certificates on her own printing press to try to take over another atheist publishing company. Regardless of how evil and how lawless my mother was, she did not deserve to die in the manner she did. End of quote. Murray said his mother had illegally stashed tens of millions away. He attempted to gain guardianship over his missing mother and brother's asset, declaring they had stolen the money, and said my brother had a tendency to fall for con games and con artists. I'd say so. That's the woman that stood to the forefront in our nation's history in 1963 and filed a lawsuit, and eight of nine Supreme Justices were conned by a con woman. We're conned by a con woman. You ready for the race to the end? Here we go. Number 17, Monday through Friday, you'll be taught the life of a community should revolve around its public school. Yeah. On Sunday, you'll be taught that the life of a community should revolve around the local church. Amen. Yep. Amen. I say that unashamedly. Amen. Number 18, Monday through Friday, you'll be taught the wisdom of man. On Sunday, you'll be taught the wisdom of God. 19, Monday through Friday, you'll be taught the three R's, reading, writing, arithmetic. On Sunday, you'll be taught the importance of the three S's, salvation, sanctification, and service. Number 20, Monday through Friday, you'll be taught to trust in yourself. On Sunday, you'll be taught to trust in the Lord. Number 21, Monday through Friday, you'll be told the importance of winning a state championship. I wonder how many sheets have been sold in these communities. How much spray paint and sheets have been sold in the community. You'll be taught the importance of winning a state championship. On Sunday, you'll be told that winning one soul to Christ is more important than 1,000 state championships. I say that loud and clear. We have a local community here that has just made baseball an idol. They've made it an idol. Take them to practice 4 or 5 times a week, drive them all over the country to games, and won't get them out of bed and bring them to learn anything about God. That has become your God. Monday through Friday, you'll be challenged to win plastic trophies for your own glory. On Sunday, you'll be challenged to earn crowns to cast at the feet of your Savior. 23, Monday through Friday, you'll be told that a fine education is the beginning of knowledge. But on Sunday, you'll learn that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Number 24, Monday through Friday, you'll be encouraged to go on to higher learning. On Sunday, when you study the Bible, you'll be involved in higher learning. Let me give you the last one. You young people, you Christian young people, just get this. Monday through Friday, you'll be told to be proud that you're a Laker or a Miner or a Bulldog or a Wolverine or an Eel. I'm an eel. On Sunday, you'll be told to never be ashamed that you're a Christian.
Amen.
Being a Christian is more important than being a Laker.
Yep.
Since it's going to be on a local radio station, I'll just go ahead and repeat that. Being a Christian's 1,000 times more important than being a Laker.
Yes.
Or a Miner.
Yep.
Or a Bulldog.
Yep.
Or a Wolverine.
Yep.
Or an Eel. Or whatever one I'm missing. I don't know. What's Sullivan? Arrows? Of being an arrow. Is it arrow? Darts and arrows. The little ones are darts and the older ones are arrows. Are you a dart or an arrow? You're an arrow. More important in this young lady's heart, and she knows it, that she's a Christian. Praise the Lord. Now listen to me, young people. Don't fall for this nonsense. We've got young ladies and young men that used to be faithful to this church. And you know what? They got so involved in everything that the public school offers. They've looked me in the eye and said, "Preacher, we just don't have time anymore."
Yeah.
What in the world?
Yep.
What in the world? There's parents in here that got your kids in public school. And you know what the honest truth is? You need to take a long, hard look at that.
Yep. Yes, sir.
I'm not trying to recruit new students. I say no to more people than we say yes to. Because if you're not into it for the right reason, they won't last here anyway. But I'm just saying, we've turned our kids over to learn the ways of the heathen. And by the way, look right up here. They're learning them well. And we take 1 or 2 hours on a Sunday and try to combat 40 hours of humanism and atheistic-based teaching. And it's well nigh an impossibility. So moms and dads, if you're serious about raising kids for the Lord, you ought to take a look at who you're handing your kids to educate. And whether or not in that education process, God is being glorified and unlifted, and this Bible is being ingrained into every part of their character and fiber of who they are, or whether or not God is shut and closed, excluded. And folks, listen to me. I went to public school. You're not going to lie to me. Publicly mocked by teachers standing in the classroom. And I'll name the names of the teachers if you want to know them. I went to Shack Mac till I was in 10th grade. I was laughed at and mocked for believing in creationism. Come on. Now, you're not going to feed me a bunch of baloney. Some of these kids never been to public school. You know what? You might be able to tell them different. You're not going to tell me different. Learn not the way of the heathen. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd take this message and stir something in our hearts. May God become God again in our lives. May he be elevated to a position that he is certainly deserving of. May he not be an afterthought, dear God, something that we try to sprinkle on for an hour a week. God, I pray, he'll become the focus, dear God, you'll become the focus of all that we are and all that we believe and all that we do. Help our young people in this wicked culture to keep their eyes fixed upon you. Keep our hearts right, Lord. Protect us from the evil one. Thank you for our young people that are growing up with standards and convictions and a heart for the Lord. And his understanding that they're to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto them. Pray, Lord, that you would cause every young person in our church to commit themselves, commit their ways unto the Lord, so that you can direct their paths. Lord, may we love you supremely above anything and everything. May we once again allow you to be the God of our life and the God of our family. Help us, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name.